We're going to be talking now about raising sheep, and we're going to be talking about the wonders of wool with a couple of guests for you today. Ray Antonovich of the AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin. His farm is located just outside of Oregon, kind of in a few couple miles from Madison, as a matter of fact. He raises sheep and offers farm tours. Always have a lot of fun. I visited my family and I have visited AZ Farms many times and always have a great time there. Elaine Hendrickson operates the Coed Mar Woolen Mill near Cambria, Wisconsin, and we're really pleased to have her with us today to talk about wool and all the different things you can do with it, and talk a little bit about fibers with her as well. So you may have some questions about sheep. You may have some questions about wool. You might have some questions about carding it or handling with it or dealing with it. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Ray Antonovich, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Sure, nice to be here again.
Yeah, and Elaine Hendrickson, thank you so much for being with us today as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
I really appreciate you you both coming by. And Ray, I know you've got your special lamb birthing barn in operation again this year.
Yes, it's in operation again. And well, when I left home, we had two of them that had lambed, and we just keep going here, and we've got a lot of action going on, a lot of nice-looking lambs being born all the time.
Oh, well, I tell you what, it's good. We'll talk some more about that as we go along here today, but I want to turn to Elaine for just a minute. Tell us about Coed Mar Woolen Mill.
Okay, that's my business.
Yeah.
I run it off our dairy farm, which has been in my family since 1845. So it's an offshoot to the dairy farm. Imagine that, here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But the wool is a totally natural product. It's very user-friendly. No harm is done to the sheep to collect it. Mm-hmm. And from there, I make a usable product for spinning, mattress padding, comforters, knitters.
How'd you have to get into that?
It was a total fluke. My husband said no sheep when I started to spin, but he bought me two pet llamas way back in the early 80s, and from there it just snowballed into this giant thing.
Oh, that's great. So you just got you started raising, and you like spinning?
And yeah, and I found out spinning was fun. And then after just the llama fiber, I did that for friends that had llamas, and then it grew into the sheep because there's so many breeds of sheep, anywhere from the commercial flocks and then the better commercial flocks like Ray has, all the way up to the Teeswater, which is an endangered species, but it's a beautiful fiber. It can grow 12 inches long.
Oh, my goodness. What services do you provide as part of this woolen mill?
Well, if you bring me a raw fleece, like somewhere from Ray, or you have your own sheep, you bring it to me, and I wash it in biodegradable soaps, and I don't use any chemicals or acids. I use 210-degree water to more or less scald it, to mm-hmm. scald the dirt and the lanolin off of it. And then we can just wash for you, or we can wash and process. And processing, I mean, I can make batting. I can take it all the way down to a pencil roving for spinners, and at this time I do still offer some hand spinning, not much, and down the road a little ways I'm hoping I will be doing commercial spinning.
So you've got a lot going on there.
It's a busy place.
Starting out with a couple of llamas.
Very busy place.
Well, Ray, you work with Elaine a little bit in the over time?
I worked with the lamb?
With Elaine?
With Elaine, yes. She's been part of our open house for our open houses that we've been having for about seven years. And then she ends up taking a lot of our wool and making products out of it and going from there. And so we're kind of working together on this to some degree.
Well, that's great. And tell us about your farm operation there with your sheep. You got a lot of sheep there.
Yes, we do. We've got 100 ewes. These are commercial ewes. We're crossing a couple different breeds to get the quality of wool that we like. And Elaine likes it also. And also many hand spinners. We're developing more of a market for the wool that we do produce. Then in addition to the wool, we do produce the lamb meat, and we sell a lot of that. It's a very good source of income for us. And then we do sell some breeding stock and, lambs for this or that, and we just kind of go from there. What started out with, well, we started originally with a 4-H project that we bought out, and then we expanded from there. And after Alice and I retired in quotes, then we got into this type of operation, more ag tourism, or providing educational agriculture-related events.
Yeah, and I do want to, we'll mention this again, but you've got some events coming up where people can come and watch the lambs hopefully being born. We've seen, actually, my family's seen quite a few lambs born at your farm.
Yes, as far as lambs being born, then we cannot guarantee it.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
We do have a lot of lambs that have been born a couple weeks ago, and we're going, and we'll probably be going it for probably about a month. And then you've got the lambs to see and touch, and also we'll have baby chicks, and we've got the laying flock of hens, we've got turkeys, we've got rabbits, and we will have on the weekend for our lamb birthing barn open houses, we will have some dairy calves there, and also some kid goats, some young kid goats, and little pigs also. really, we do have a lot for the people to see, and we will have a photographer there. I know you've experienced that, where you can get the picture of the family taken, kind of a start as far as the Christmas card event that will be coming up later. But we've got a lot to see there. Then in addition to the animals, we will have hand spinners, as Elaine referred to, that will be doing their thing there with the wool, and we'll have knitters there. Something else for a couple sessions. It depends on the people's schedule somewhat, but we will have a person there explaining honey, where the honey comes from, as far as the bees, and there will be a couple of commercial exhibitors. We will be able to have some of the yarn that is produced from our wool. We will have that on sale at these events, as well as generally anybody can contact us, and we do have that and lamb available at all times.
And now this is three Sundays in a row, isn't it?
Yes, the last three Sundays of March. And we'll have plenty of lambs of different ages, from a couple weeks to newborn lambs for about 6-7 weeks here.
So the 15th and the 22nd and the 29th of March are the 3 days for that particular event.
Yes, that's it. We do a lot of tours during the week, particularly school tours. And we're pretty well booked up as far as March is concerned. And we've got a good start on April as far as tours.
What is it? I mean, this is a lot of work to bring hundreds, even thousands of people to a farm, to an event. But it's a way for people to expand their income, or just make it their entire income.
As far as the sheep and something like we're doing?
Yeah.
Yes, that is possible. We're making some income on this. It's not our sole income. We're retired, supposedly, and going from there. It is something that a lot of people can do, either full-time or part-time. Wisconsin is growing as far as the sheep population is concerned, and it's not really the larger operations with, say, several hundred sheep. It's the smaller number. And the people who have a smaller acreage, such as in our case, we have 37 acres. And this is a good way to have a little supplemental income. And it's also a good way to acquaint youth with an animal, and they can get some experience there.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. I know my little daughter had a lot of fun and an interesting time watching. She's seen a few lambs born now, a couple of three lambs, I think, being born over different over time, and it's a great experience for kids.
Yes, that and just taking care of them, the lambs and sheep in general, if they have a small flock. The people with the small acreage, this is something that is a possibility with the sheep world.
Well, I want to talk some more about wool, too, and about the woolen mill with our guest today, Elaine Hendrickson, and Ray Antonovich, who are talking with us about raising sheep and the wonders of wool. So give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. And we'll be back with our guests right after a look at the news. We're talking raising sheep and the wonders of wool today with our two guests, Ray Antonovich of AZ Farm at Oregon, Wisconsin, and Elaine Hendrickson, who operates Coed Mar Woolen Mill near Cambria, Wisconsin. I was calling it Coed because that's the way it's spelled or the way it looks, but it's Coed, right?
It's Coed. It's a Welsh word meaning big, and Mawr means woods.
And Mawr is M-A-W-R.
Mm-hmm.
M-A-W-R
so means
wood.
The big woods.
The big woods. Okay, well, I tell you what, we have callers online. If you'd like to join in, have a question either about sheep or about wool, maybe you want to know a little bit more about the event that's coming up on Ray's farm, actually over three Sundays, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. It's an open lamb birthing barn, chance to see those lambs and many other types of animals as well. Give us a call. Again, that number, 800-642-1234. Or email at talk@wpr.org. And let's take some calls. Folks have been waiting a while. Barbara in Caledonia, we go to you first. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Very, very interesting show. I had read that you can take the winter coat of a buffalo and make a type of cashmere. Are you aware or do you know anything about that?
That is true. It can be done. There are specialty machines out there that would do that, and I do know a person that's custom making specialty machines to do the buffalo fiber for that purpose. But you need quite a bit of it in order to have anything come back out of the machines, but it does end up being a lovely process.
Sure. Yeah, we have a buffalo farm near us.
Oh, well, there
you got plenty of buffalo then.
Yeah. And where are you located?
I'm a mile and a half southwest of Cambria. And Cambria, if you look on the map, Portage, Columbus, and Beaver Dam make a triangle, and I'm smack dab in the middle of that little triangle.
Okay, and then do you give demonstrations?
Depending on, like, what?
Just in general of your carding and the spinning.
Oh, sure, sure. I'm always open for those kind of things.
Okay. Is there any special days or times that are more?
It's this time of season. It's best to call me because I'm myself either out wool gathering, like places at Ray's, or demoing or doing school talks myself, too. But just give me a holler and see if we can connect, and I'll try to be there.
And your phone number is 920-348-5594.
Correct.
920-348-5594. And you have a web, too, as well. Website.
Yes, I do have a website. coedmarwoolenmill.com.
So Coedmar, Coedmar, woolenmill.
Woolenmill.com.
.com.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Bob in West Allis, we turn to you next. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Hi. We have two old spinning wheels that we wanted to show our grandchildren how they could spin with those. So I'm wondering if there's any sources in this area where you could buy carded wool or wool, if someone could show me how to card it, to card the wool. So I can do a little demonstrating, or my wife can do a little demonstrating for our grandchildren.
Oh, there's plenty of places to buy carded and processed wool. The great place to be would come next Sunday up to Ray's, because I'll be there and everybody else will be there, and there will be spinners there. Otherwise, you can, most yarn shops now do have some carded wool, because felting also goes along with the spinning, and people like to embellish with felt. So you could check that out or give either Ray or I a call.
Okay, well, are there any in this area?
West Allis?
Sure, there's all. Just look in your yellow pages under yarn shops.
Okay.
And somebody should be able to point you somewhere.
I just thought there might be a farm or someplace where they were raising wool in this area, but maybe not.
Oh, there are, but you'd have to find them. And if you'd want to call me, I could look some up. I mean, I don't have them off the top of my head, but I know there's a lot of them everywhere you look.
All right, I'll give you a call then.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate the call. And Edie in Baraboo. Hi to you, Edie.
Hi. I want to agree with Ray about how nice it is to have sheep and how much fun it is to watch little lambs in the spring. We have 10 acres here in Baraboo, and we raise chickens and turkeys out in the pasture and the lambs and a couple donkeys. And if you manage your ground pretty well, you can still have quite a bit of grass for them to eat, even with so many animals. But I got a little smarter as I got older. I'm not having lambs until the end of April. Hard.
You did really bring up a good point there as to when you want those lambs. The January lambing may be okay for the show people, but something a little later is better. And usually March isn't as bad as our weather is, particularly today.
Yeah.
But then with our tours and open barn and so forth, lambing in March works out good. And we do have indoor facilities. All of our events, except later on when we go out on pasture and see the sheep with the tours. But now everything is inside, and it sure makes a big difference.
Well, we got to come down and see your operation, because it sure sounds like fun.
Oh, it is fun. And again, your website, Edie, you can take a look online at Ray's website. It's cool one. I've got it up right now, as a matter of fact, showing events from past years. And what's that website address?
Our website is www.a-z-farm.com.
And Ray, I think you and your wife are doing a great service to little kids that live in town that have no idea how anything lives out in the country, or how it's born, or how it's grown, or it's just a great thing that you're doing. So,
well, thank you very much.
Keep it up.
Our family enjoys doing it, and
good.
It is something that we think. Somebody has to do some teaching in this line, and we're kind of in a situation and enjoy doing it, and so on.
Well, he's a retired extension guy, you know.
Yeah,
so.
He knows the end. Well, thank you.
All right,
thanks, Edie. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, you can't get that extension out of your blood, no matter what if you're retired or not. Oh, man. Joanne in Wales, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Joanne.
You may have had a previous caller who asked the same question. I didn't hear his whole conversation. Do you wash and card wool for quilts? If you bring wool in that came from an existing quilt, would you wash and card that?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
You do?
That is a service we offer, because it's amazing how many people pull grandma's old comforter out of the closet and didn't know what to do with it until they stumble on me.
Well,
but it can be totally reconditioned.
Okay. You are Co-Ed Mar Woolen Mill?
Yes, uh-huh.
Near Cambria?
Yes.
And do you have a phone number?
920-320-348-5594.
Okay, do you have a ballpark figure? It's a queen-size quilt. How much that would cost?
My queen bats usually run about 4 pounds, so that would cost you about, $37, $40 to be redone and put a little new wool in it.
Okay. All right, and are you open all the time?
I am, but it's best to call first to make sure somebody's really in the shop, because you never know where you find us.
Well, and I suppose I'd need directions on how to find you, too.
Right, but it's real easy to find.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Excuse me. Someone called in and wondered about the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival as well. That's in September. That's a long ways off.
Yes, that's a long ways off, but it'll be here very soon. That is the weekend after Labor Day, and that will be down at Jefferson on Friday. There will be many things there. The commercial area is open. We'll have, for those who want to get into the sheep business, there's many different aspects of it. We will have what we call Sheep Production 101 for the beginning people. And then we get on Saturday and Sunday, we've got a lot of things going on. And there will be the dog trials and... you can come there.
Workshops. Don't forget the workshops.
Yes. Yes. There's workshops, all different kinds of them. And we can get information for you on that. And come on to Jefferson County Fairgrounds that weekend.
Raising Sheep and the Wonders of Wool, our topic with Ray Antonievich and Elaine Hendrickson. Larry Mueller here. Give us a call with your questions as we talk sheep and wool. At 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Another question came in. When lambs are born, the tails get cut. Why do they do that?
Well, that is a sanitary practice because they can accumulate manure on the tail. And then we could get maggots and so forth, and that is something that we don't want to put that sheep through. And that is one of the biggest reasons why the tails are docked. Now, some breeds do not have long tails, and so it's not necessary. But in this part of the world, this is a practice that is really followed.
And another caller wondered, could you give specific directions on how to get to your particular farm, AZ Farm?
Okay, our AZ Farm, we do have a map on our website, and that is pretty clear. If you're from Madison or if you get to Madison, I think everybody sooner or later comes in contact with Park Street. And if you take Park Street out, you go underneath Highways 12 and 18, and that becomes Highway 14. Take 14 about 6 miles out, and you'll come to the exit for Oregon. Make sure you go that 6 miles or roughly there. Mm-hmm. Then on that exit, take that at the bottom, turn left. You'll go underneath Highway 14, and then just beyond the interchange there, Schuster Road will come in on your right. It only comes in from the right. Turn right on Schuster Road and go 1 mile. You'll be right in front of us.
Right there.
Very easy to get to.
And it'll be easy to see, too, because there'll be some cars there.
Right. We'll have yes, there'll be cars there, and we will have some signs along where you turn off on Highway 14 there and so forth.
Josh in Madison has a question or comment. Josh, hi.
Hi. I was wondering about fly strike. I know some people that used to breed sheep, and if they didn't get them sheared by a certain time, they'd run into fly strike. And what causes that, and when's the time frame, and so on?
Well, it is something that can happen. It doesn't happen very often under most situations. But if there is some kind of a slight injury or discomfort to the skin or something like this can occur. And so that longer wool does not help the welfare as far as the sheep is concerned. So that's why it's a good idea to get to those shorn in the spring.
So you get the sheep shorn and you avoid that sort of problem.
Generally, yes. I mean, there's always going to be exceptions, but that'll pretty well take care of it.
And the shearing gets done right about?
Well, it depends on the situation. We have ours shorn just before shearing. And so all of ours.
Oh, before lambing, you mean?
Before lambing, pardon me. The shearing is the process. But then it sure makes lambing a lot easier for the ewe, for the lambs, and for us.
Yeah, I would think so. Jane in Appleton, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Jane.
Thank you. Two questions quick. First, I know they use goat milk to process cheese. Do you use sheep milk to process cheese? Secondly, do you use dogs? And if so, how important of a component are they to your farming operation? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank
you. All right,
thanks. Okay. Sheep milk is a very big product as far as making cheese. And really, Wisconsin is one of the leading states, or is the leading state, in making of cheese from the sheep milk. And that's something that we see more of it in the northern part of the state than in the southern part. But it's a very good practice. And
how's it usually recognized, by the way? I mean, what kind of names would it go under? Would it just say cheese from sheep milk? Or
yes, generally it will. And here in Madison, we do have a couple of vendors that do sell sheep cheese. Cheese that's made from the sheep's milk.
All right.
But it is a good cheese and is becoming more popular, and we do get a lot of imported cheese. Then the dogs, we don't really use dogs. We do have a couple of them, but in our situation, the way our farm is laid out with the lanes and the pastures that we do have and the temporary fencing that we use, we don't really need dogs that much. Once in a while, it would be nice, but overall, it's working out pretty good.
I, of course, my good friend Patricia McConnell, her farm, she has dogs. And
right.
And needs them. She needs a guard dog for the coyotes to keep the coyotes away. And then she, of course, she has dogs. She has a favorite dog that will herd the sheep around and bring them to her. And
oh, yes. Well, at the Sheep and Wool Festival in September, we'll see working dogs a lot.
Yeah.
So those that are particularly interested in using dogs, this would be a great thing to come and see.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun to watch. They're a lot of fun to watch. Claire in Pewaukee, your turn now. Hi, Claire.
Yes. I just wanted to let Elaine know and the people know that I have had wool recarded by her and gotten material, and she does a great job.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, that's good to hear. Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, we've been there several times.
Well, thank you. See, I am easy to find.
Yeah. And tell them there's a good hamburger place in town.
That there is, too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling. So you got a repeat customer there.
I'm a hot item, I guess.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks, Claire, for calling. Michael in Algoma, on to you now. Hi, Michael.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
I have, just talking about wool, you mentioned about buffalo hair before. One of the things that I have at home is a small scarf made of Quiviot. It's Quiviot, Quiviut.
Mm-hmm.
It's muskox hair.
Yep.
It's gathered on Nunavak Island, which is Yupik Eskimo territory on the west coast of Alaska. And in the spring, the Eskimo women and children go around to all of the small branches and shrubs and everything else they can find and gather the muskox hair that's been scraped off or dragged off or blown off during the wintertime. And it's spun and carded, and it's softer wool than anything I've ever seen anywhere in the world.
It's very fine wool, and only the indigenous women are able to gather that fiber up there. It's a very rare commodity. It's very expensive. But yes, you can knit a shawl. It'll be so fine that it'll slip through a wedding ring.
Wow.
And it is warm, very warm.
Very warm. All right. Well, thanks for letting us know that, Michael. Appreciate it. And Tom in Port Wing, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I work with pianos, and the felt is absolutely critical to the tone of a piano. But the problem is the felts of 80 years ago have a tremendous sound, which you can't reproduce with modern felts. And all I can tell by looking at the felt is the older felt is less dense and yet still completely firm. And I don't know, I have no idea why it would be this way.
Well, that's interesting. Let's get comments from both of our guests, maybe. Ray?
I'm not a good resource person on that, but something that we do have that people who are interested in felt, and Mary may have a good question or good answer for you, but Mary Wallace will be with us at the farm, and she'll be doing felting demonstrations.
Oh, Elaine, a comment from you?
Well, the old felt from 80 years ago was real wool. Anything new you buy now is basic. It may have some real wool in it, but it's 99% synthetics.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It isn't real felt anymore.
Oh, okay.
It could be, you know, that could be a whole new line here to make piano felt.
Yeah.
Because making felt is really fun. But, you know, it would be a process to compact it enough to make it, because it's for the toning.
Yeah. And it's expensive to do that.
Right. Yeah. But maybe you could get some 4-H felting kits together and try it out, because we're always looking for projects.
Yes, the sheep industry does have a lot of different avenues that many of us don't think of. And so here's another one we can put in there.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, and you know what, Tom? Elaine's making a note here. she's gonna look into that. Oh, boy. Tom in Douglas County, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Yes, hello everyone. Two questions and a comment with a resource for you. We're thinking of putting in Icelandic sheep here on our property, and we have a question about polled versus horns. And then the second question is tips on parasites. And then I have a resource I'd like to mention.
All right, what's the resource?
David Grody is an Icelandic farmer just to the east of us over near Iron River, Wisconsin. And David has been our mentor with Icelandic sheep. We've learned so much from him. And if I could just mention his website, it is a wonderful place to learn, just like the folks that you have on your program.
Okay.
It's just www.davidgrote.com. And David has been a wonderful teacher of us, and we're going to try to emulate what he has going over there.
All right. Well, quickly, Ray, comments?
Okay. On the horn situation, I think probably one of the biggest, not problems, but things you have to contend with horns is getting them caught in feeders. You may have to have a little different type of feeders for the horn versus the pole, and then also the fences, depending on the individual. They could get caught in there. And so that's
a problem.
Yes. Those would be the problems, the more prominent problems that you would have with horned.
Okay. And we're about out of time here, so I want to just remind everybody, Elaine, you're going to be at AZ Farm on the 15th, 22nd, and 29th of March.
Yeah.
And you'll be doing some things with wool there, and a chance to see sheep, possibly some lambs being born. Now, you can't guarantee it, but there, we've been lucky every time we've gone. We've, I think, seen some lambs born, and a chance to see a lot of other animals there and at Ray's farm. It's A-Z Farm, and the A-ZFarm.com. That's the website to go. It's just located just outside of Oregon, Wisconsin, and Elaine, real pleasure to have you with us as well.
Thank you. This was fun.
Coedmar Woolen Mill, looks like Coedmar Woolen Mill, near Cambria, Wisconsin. Ray Antonovich of AZ Farm at Oregon, Wisconsin, and the Open Lambing Birthing Barn is March 15th, again the 22nd and the 29th from 10 to 4 on those Sundays. Really happy to have them with us. And I'll be out there. Our family will be out there. We've had our picture taken every year out there. Emily, we've been watching Emily grow every year. She's getting a little bigger.
It's better than Santa Claus.
Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.